13. Needless to say, it took me a bit longer than I'd expected to get back to Ares and finish the quest to seed life on it so I could set off its own version of the Cambrian explosion, but I succeeded nonetheless and got 18 stat points and 6 skill points to boot. I again chose to save my skill points, but I did distribute my stat points evenly. So I wound up adding 3 points to charisma, fortitude, strength, agility, and intelligence. It was a bit strange, because I'd sort of expected that finishing this quest would open a new portal, but it didn't. As I sat there, trying to contemplate why that was, Jody's face piped up over our communications link.
"Hey, Garrett, I found an interesting development."
There was a long pause.
"Can you come help me?"
"Sure," I said a bit hesitantly, because honestly, if this was another booty call, I wasn't sure if I had the energy for that. Then again, I was a god here, so... whatever, I'd make it work. Either way, I teleported to her still in the Dyson sphere a moment later and realized, much to my dismay, that it was not, at all, a sex thing. Instead, she was standing in a room filled with what had to be a couple hundred beds, and each one of them appeared to house what looked like a sleeping velociraptor person.
"So, yeah, I found this."
Jody gestured at the beds.
"Basically, there is power, but almost all of it is being devoted to life support to keep them alive for the maximum amount of time."
"That's a bit weird, though, right?" I looked at the cat girl. "Like, when would they wake up? Or would they just drive forever until the star was sucked dry of power?"
"That, I'm not sure. But what I think is happening is that there is some kind of automated repair system, but it appears to have been severely damaged."
She frowned.
"Of course, I'm basing all this on the sentences I found written in blood."
"You're kidding, right?" I asked, raising an eyebrow at her.
"No."
She shook her head.
"Come on, I'll show you."
She spun on her heel and made her way out of the room. I soon found it exited into what seemed like a small command center, only it was full of what looked like the remnants of machine parts and broken-down robots. There was another stasis pod here, but this one was empty and covered in strange symbols that did appear, at least at first glance, to have been written in blood.
"It says something about running out of time."
Jody ran her scanner over it.
"But that's a super rough translation I've gotten based on the few scraps of actual language I've found. If we could find something more substantial, I could work up a better translation."
"Do you know who made these markings?" I asked as I stared at the bloody handprints leading out of the room.
"No."
She shook her head.
"That's why I called you."
She gestured at me.
"You're a god, and I'm just a tiny cat girl who doesn't want to get eaten by a space lizard."
She shook her head.
"And I don't care who needs to hear me say that. Pussycat is not on the menu. No siree."
She put her hands on her hips.
"I mean, what would you say if I did get eaten because I refused to ask the actual god I know for help?"
She then mimicked my voice rather well.
"That Jody, I wish she'd have just asked for my help. I could have snapped my fingers and turned the bad guy into a bouquet of posies. But no, she had to go try to be Miss Wonder."
"Miss Wonder?" I asked, raising an eyebrow.
"She's a superheroine from my world." She was like part goddess and was raised by these superwomen on this tiny island to be an amazing warrior. And then this dark god came, and during the fight, she was irradiated by this blue magic stone, and that gave her a bunch more powers.
Jody shrugged. I used to dress up as her for Halloween when I was a kitten.
Right, I nodded. Anyway, I'll take a look around. I smiled. And I appreciate you calling me for help.
Don't mention it, she said with a smirk. Also, I know you're a god and all, but maybe shower next time. You smell like two cat girls in heat.
I did shower, actually. I ran a hand through my hair. And then I willed myself clean when I became a god again.
Catgirl noses work very well.
She twitched her nose.
Smells like you had a great time, but enough about that.
She looked around the tiny room.
Let's find our bloody-handed crazy person. Jody has offered you a quest. Blood, markings, terror, WTF. Would you like to accept? Yes or no?
Right.
I accepted the quest and made my way toward the far door.
Say, where's Hudson?
I left him to gather up some of the parts we found in one of the other rooms so we could transfer them back to the halls of research for further study. I planned to disassemble them and learn how they were made, so maybe I could cobble together something useful. But it will be way easier if I can actually just turn on an engineering console and download all the blueprints.
She smirked. I do have that new skill, after all.
Makes sense, I said, as I mentally checked in on Hudson, and a quick glance through his eyes showed him doing exactly what she'd said. And man, were there a lot of broken robot parts. So what's the plan?
I stay out here where it's safe.
She gestured at the room full of beds.
You find the creepy fuck who is writing things in blood.
Okay, I nodded. And safe, in this case, means staying in a room full of sleeping velociraptors? Like, that is exactly how horror movies start.
That is an excellent point.
Jody swallowed audibly.
Actually, I'd feel way better if you just protected me from space monsters while I continued working in the giant zombie dinosaur room.
Right, I laughed. I couldn't help it.
How about I take you back to the halls of research for now?
No.
She shook her head and then adjusted the girls.
I'm not done researching, and who knows when you'll be able to take me back here again.
She hung her head slightly.
I'll just,
She looked at me.
Maybe summon Queenie and Crabface? They could protect me while you go look around.
That can be done, I said with a smirk. And after confirming with Queenie that she wasn't terribly busy, I summoned the Ant Queen as well as Crabface. Can you two watch over Jody while I find out what the fuck is going on here?
It would be my pleasure, Master.
Queenie then made eye contact with Jody before putting a giant spoonful of honey into her mouth.
Won't this be fun?
She oomph, oomph, oomphed.
I asked for that, didn't I?
Jody said, as she looked over at Crabface for support.
Honestly, I'm just happy to be here. The giant half-crab, half-amorphy said, as he looked from her to me and back again. I was pretty sure I wasn't getting summoned again.
It was a near thing, I admitted. Prove to me why I should give you one of my coveted freedom slots. Yes, I did make air quotes when I said that.
That's fair, Crabface nodded. So,
What am I to do exactly?
He looked around.
Are those dinosaurs?
I'm not sure. I shrugged. Maybe we should bring Melanie here. I bet she could tell us.
How can they be dinosaurs if they don't have feathers?
Jody stamped her foot in a way that made me think they may have actually had this conversation before.
Jody, the fossil record is pretty clear that there were two kinds of dinosaurs, ones that had hips like reptiles and others like birds.
Melanie piped up from our communications link.
The reptile ones don't have feathers. Also, they don't wear overcoats.
Just because you've never seen a dinosaur wearing an overcoat does not mean they didn't. Jody stamped her foot again.
Right,
I said, as I glanced over at Queenie and Crabface. I'm going to leave you two with Jody so she can continue arguing with Melanie. I touched my chest. I, on the other hand, am going to see if I can find our bloody-handed culprit.
I will make sure nothing happens to Jody, Master.
She shot a side eye at the cat girl.
Assuming she works and isn't lazy, then there will be beatings.
Queenie, I admonished.
Mild beatings?
She offered. No beatings.
Tiny beatings?
She looked at me imploringly. No beating the workers. I glanced at Crabface.
That goes for you, too.
I only beat people until their morale improves.
The giant crab shrugged.
Jody's morale seems sufficiently high.
Right. Okay, whatever. I scrubbed my face with my hand.
Try not to kill each other.
Then, before I could get sucked into crazy land even more, I ushered them out of the tiny room so I could look it over in peace. Unfortunately, even with my godly powers, focusing on the blood and such didn't yield anything. Then again, I hadn't expected it much. After all, I'd scanned this thing a dozen times and never seen the zombie raptors. So, with my cheat mode currently deactivated, I did the next best thing. I summoned Scout, because he was a badass scout ant.
Hey there, boy, I said as I scratched him under the chin, which elicited a delighted antennae twitch.
Want to help me find something?
He didn't respond exactly, but I knew from his stone-cold silence that he was more than happy to help.
Okay, so I need you to find whoever made that blood. I pointed at the splotches. Scout twitched his antennae, which I knew meant, well, something. Then the scout ant padded over to the blood and leaned in close to it. He seemed to sniff a few times like a giant ant-shaped dog, then straightened and looked at me with his multifaceted eyes.
Go ahead, I said with a nod. I'll follow.
He must have understood, because he began to amble away, but then stopped when he reached the far wall. It didn't seem strange or anything, just a blank metal wall without much to it, so I wasn't sure how our target could have moved through it. After all, there was only one door, so I'd expected Scout to, you know, leave the room.
You sure, boy?
I asked as I walked toward the wall and put my hand on it. The metal felt solid enough. His antennae twitched the affirmative.
Right. Okay.
I turned my attention back to the door and reached out once again with my godly senses. It was a bit strange, because I didn't feel anyone behind the wall. But what I did feel was a space. Actually, that wasn't accurate. What I felt was the lack of anything. Like a tiny void where there should have been something. You know, air, dust, motes, atoms of any kind. Instead, there was simply nothing. And that was strange. It's like with the Yuuzhan Vong being outside the Force, and the Jedi had to sense them by looking for voids in the Force, I told Scout, who was thoroughly pleased by my analogy. Then I grabbed a hold of the wall and tore it free of the structure. At which point, I was shot in the face.